This is Jay Sekulow. Major development on the national security front. The president revokes the security clearance of John Brennan.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I'd like to begin by reading a statement from the president. As the head of the executive branch and commander-in-chief, I have a unique constitutional responsibility to protect the nation's classified information, including by controlling access to it. Today, in fulfilling that responsibility, I've decided to revoke the security clearance of John Brennan, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
You can be the former CIA director and a critic of the president. You just can't lead the resistance movement at the same time. If you look at CIA policy about how a former director should act, he is well over the line.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So the president has ordered the revocation of the security clearance of former CIA director James Clapper. There's also other individuals that are being looked at right now. They include James Comey, Michael Hayden, Sally Yates, Susan Rice, Andrew McCabe, which I can't understand how Andrew McCabe still has a security clearance. Peter Strzok, tell me how he still has a security clearance. Bruce Ohr, tell me how he still has a security clearance. I mean, on and on it goes. Brennan responded with an op-ed in the New York Times, and he said, former CIA director, this action is part of a broader effort by Mr. Trump to suppress freedom of speech and punish critics. It should gravely worry all Americans, including intelligence professionals, about the cost of speaking out. My principles are worth far more than clearances. I will not relent. That's fine. He has that right to have that opinion. What's also interesting is Brennan back in July said Donald Trump's press conference performance in Helsinki rises to and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. It was nothing short of treasonous. So he's accused the president of treason. So, by the way, security clearance is not a right. It's a grant of government authority, ultimately resting in the president. I'm under Article 2. So this is also not something that has not been talked about by others. Rand Paul said he applauded the president for revoking John Brennan's security clearance. He urged the president to do this previously, and he noted that he filibustered Brennan's nomination to head the CIA in 2013. So again, not a constitutional right here.
I think, listen, John Brennan, first of all, this joke that he doesn't have a First Amendment right, but he's writing op-eds about his security clearance being revoked and doing interviews about it, that right there, I mean, it disproves the point. He still has his First Amendment rights to go and say whatever he wants to about the President of the United States. This sends a message to is that these officials who have utilized these security clearances and this grant by the U.S. government, I think, like Lindsey Graham has said, that they don't get to become leaders of the resistance. They don't get to become the head of the movement against the president when you're the former CIA director. And I think John Brennan, if you're going to call the commander-in-chief
treasonous
and say that he's committed an act of treason and high crimes and misdemeanor, we know what that means, high crimes and misdemeanor, which is even less than treasonous. High crimes and misdemeanors, impeachment, treasonous right. is execution. Then you know what? You should not have special privileges granted to you by that president that you believe. I mean, that's just the case. And by the way, Brennan is just the first. A whole host of people, as you say, are being looked at. And I think that should excite those who listen to this broadcast. I'd like to know who else they think should have their security clearances revoked. I believe we'd be shocked to know who still has them.
Well, that's part of the problem here. I gave you some of the list of who has them. I mean, how does Peter Strzok and Andrew McCabe and
there's questions about that. Did he get fired? So did that automatically revoke it, or does it not?
Not necessarily. I mean, security clearance is done through the Department of Justice, but it's done in a separate venue. What's the reaction in Washington right now, Fan?
Well, there's a couple different reactions, Jay, but I think the one that Jordan just gave is the one that's building. You know, security clearances are granted in order to serve the public. When you leave your official capacity and you no longer need it, why are people like this keeping it? And, Jay, if you abused it while you needed it, why would you keep it in private capacity? I think that's the opinion that we'll carry at the end of the day.
You know, a lot of people talking about that aspect, too. Why do they even keep it going? All right, we're taking your calls. Jordan asked an interesting question. Who do you think should be next on this, if anyone? 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls and comments when we come back. Again, also, make sure you're following us on all of our social media platforms. It's a great way to stay engaged with us. And go to ACLJ.org when you're there. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift. We'll be back with more, including your calls, at 1-800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
John Brennan accuses the President of the United States of nothing short of treason, and then is angry when the President revokes has a security clearance revoked. The security clearance, by the way, just so you know, is not a constitutional right. People are trying to couch this in First Amendment terms. Security clearance is a privilege, Professor Hutchinson, not a right.
Absolutely. And it's clear that former Obama administration officials have monetized and weaponized their access to the nation's secrets. And so it is time to stop their access, because they have turned their access into a major component of the so-called Trump resistance. And most of their claims are incoherent and unsubstantiated.
So you've got, this is the exact quote from John Brennan. I want to play with this. I'm going to read the U.S. Code section, because you don't get this on many broadcasts. Donald Trump's press conference performance Helsinki rises to and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. That, of course, is language used for impeachment. It was nothing short of treasonous. Now, under 18 U.S.C. section 2381, whoever owning allegiance to the United States levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death or shall be imprisoned not less than 5 years and fined under this title but not less than $10,000 and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States. So he accuses, Andy, if you look at the U.S. Code, treason is, you get the death penalty for treason. You could get the death penalty, yes, for treason.
And it always has been. That's historically the case. Treason is turning against your country.
And this is someone that had security clearance, John Brennan, accusing the president of treason, and then wonders why his security clearance has been revoked.
Yeah, that's a good thing to wonder about.
Yeah, all right. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls already coming in. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take one call.
Yeah, Ty in Texas, online one. Ty, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Ty.
Hello. How are you?
Great. You're on the air.
So what I needed to say was that being a former government employee and a subcontractor employee, that you do not have the privilege or right for your own political means to use your security clearance. It is only for the means and capacity which you have been gave it. So they are not using it in the right capacity and therefore are subject to legal prosecutors.
Well, I think that, listen, I'm sure John Brennan was using this to help get him positions on boards. I don't think it was so necessarily he wasn't building the F-35, so it was past that, but it was something he could highlight, a reason to keep on boards, but also this access to information. I mean, we talked about this deep state, this idea of these actors who behind the scenes are still cleared to see the most top secret information in America, have that information passed along to them. I mean, this is Brennan. Many believe, you know, this. He goes back to this whole Russia idea. He wrote an op-ed today saying so. He is the one who supposedly blew the whistle on Russia interference in our election. Guess what, though? He did nothing. So some of this is revisionist history by John Brennan.
I agree with that.
They 100%. Thought Hillary Clinton was going to win, so they didn't need to push the Russians harder. And the truth is, if they did believe that the Russians were trying to mess with our election process, which a lot of people do on both sides of the aisle, they said nothing about it. So I think that they live every day with that on their mind, that they did nothing, and they had the top security clearance. They knew the information, and they did nothing, and the president didn't take any action either. And that's why the whole investigation looks so – it looks like a bunch of people trying to make good on some bad decisions they made in the past.
There's no question that Brennan had some involvement in the Steele dossier situation, right? I mean, the president cited Brennan's insistence that the Steele dossier played no part in the intelligence community assessment that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. I think he actually testified to that effect at one point or something like that. But that ended up being proven not to be the case at all, Andy, when you look at the what we've learned now about the FISA warrants.
Well, Brennan is a liar. Let's face it. He's made false statements. He's made false accusations. He's now gone off the deep end, making statements that the president of the United States goes to Helsinki, has a press conference with Putin, and as a consequence of that, he is guilty of treachery. Treason against the United States, and then calling him imbecilic and in the pocket of Putin. What recourse does the president have but to revoke this? And it should have been done long ago, Jay, and that of these other people who are on the list. Why do they continue to have access to this confidential information?
Well, Jordan laid out the case on why sometimes it's, I think we said this during the break, why it's important sometimes to have access to security materials once you leave. And we'll get into that. We got questions coming in there, but the press reaction to this is that somehow it's stifling his First Amendment right, which is not the case at all. He could continue to say whatever he wants to say. You don't have First Amendment, and he is doing it because he just
lead up in the New York Times.
Lead up in the New York Times, Harry.
Absolutely. So the First Amendment still applies to John Brennan, notwithstanding the claims and contentions of his defenders. It's important to realize that John Brennan, in addition to accusing the president of treason, has insisted, contrary to the evidence, that the Steele dossier played no part in the intelligence community's assessment of Russian meddling in the election, despite the issuance of 4 FISA warrants against Carter Page based on the dossier, and despite evidence that Bruce Orr continued to work with Christopher Steele after he was fired by the FBI.
Let me give you a classic John Brennan flashback, and then I'm going to play it for you in full, then I'm going to break it down. Number 36.
The president's strategy is absolutely clear about the threat we face. Our enemy is not terrorism, because terrorism is but a tactic. Our enemy is not terror, because terror is a state of mind. And as Americans, we refuse to live in fear. Nor do we describe our enemy as jihadists or Islamists, because jihad is a holy struggle, a legitimate tenet of Islam, meaning to purify oneself of one's community. And there is nothing holy or legitimate or Islamic about murdering innocent men, women, and children.
Okay, I'm going to now do what I do as a lawyer. I'm going to break down the absurdity of what John Brennan said, who was holding a security clearance until yesterday. I wish I could have a camera zoom in on Andy Economo's face and as we're talking about this, because it's all right. So let's start from the top, team. The president, this is talking about President Obama. The president's strategy is absolutely clear about the threat that we now face. This is what he said. And that is that we do not, I'm sorry, I lost it there. There we go. About the threat we now face. Our enemy is not terrorism, because terrorism is but a tactic. But terrorism is an enemy, Andy, because terrorism is more than a tactic. It's an implementation.
I mean,
it's an act of terrorism.
An act of terrorism is exactly what you say, tautologically speaking, Greek word, tafta. Terrorism is an act of aggression in a vile sense based on a irrational political or religious belief. But let me just say, that statement by Brennan, spoken like a true Muslim. I mean, I've got to say it. There's something there that smells of Islam.
Yeah, well, sympathy. Well, I'm not going to say it.
His sympathies are clear. I mean, the way he speaks. Just look at the tone and the tone. He was the CIA chief. in Saudi Arabia. So some of that language and tone, the way he speaks about Islam, certainly could have been influenced there, being in Saudi Arabia that long, having to work within that
this?
World.
No, I mean, I'm going to skip something here.
He gets into religious things.
Yeah, sure. No, he doesn't. He says, nor do we describe our enemies as jihadists and Islamists, which, by the way, is part of the problem with the Obama administration, because jihad is a holy struggle. Well, tell that to ISIS, John Brennan. Tell that to ISIS. Tell that to Al-Qaeda. It's just a holy struggle. It's a purification, he says, and cleansing. So Andy handled it a little stronger than I would have, but I get what he's saying. I mean, it's I'm not calling anybody about their religion or their faith, but to not we don't use the name jihadist or Islamist because it's offensive, Harry.
Absolutely. We should not accept John Brennan's approach. Terrorism is more than an idea. It is more than a state of mind. It results in the loss of human life, and therefore it is an enemy of all law-abiding Americans.
So, Fan, we look at these controversial statements, to say the least, about Brennan, and then we see the difference. And by the way, I want to be very clear on this. We don't believe that all Muslims are jihadists or terrorists. That's ridiculous. But let me tell you, he went out of his way in that statement to say jihadist or Islamist. We don't describe them as jihadist or Islamist because jihad is a holy struggle. But that's just fundamental. That is a version. There is a version of jihad that's that. Yep. But that is not what the terrorists do. This was the entire problem with John Brennan being the CIA director. They never understood the nature and scope of what the enemy was trying to do. Believe me, these individuals, Albert Baker al-Baghdadi, thinks... he is a jihadist, not because he's just going on some ritual cleansing. And that's the fundamental problem with him. And then, you know, I get it. You want to speak out against administration policies, great. But you don't own the right to a security clearance. Fan, I want to go to you quickly because we've gotten comments now from a couple of senators on this.
Yeah, look, terrorism isn't a tactic. It's not jihadist. Jay, tell that to the families of the victims. Terrorism is a tactic. It's a tactic committed by jihadists. And the fact that the former director would even issue those statements probably is cause enough to strip his clearance. But there's a whole other list of things. And you know what, Jay? The comments from senators, those are going to build. When you actually look at what John Brennan did, there is no way that he should retain that clearance.
Well, he's not. All right, when we come back from the break, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed right now, so we'll get to some more calls in just a moment. Of some comments from Lindsey Graham on tape as well I want to play. So a lot more ahead. Stay tuned. 1-800-684-3110. We'll see what Andy Economo says next. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
back to the broadcast, everyone. So I'm going to play for you again. Well, actually, I'm going to read it to you. This is John Brennan's statement. The president's strategy is absolutely clear, talking about President Obama, about the threat we face. Our enemy is not terrorism because terrorism is but a tactic. Our enemy is not terror because terror is a state of mind. As an Americans, we refuse to live in fear. 18 U.S.C. Section 2331 definitions. The term international terrorism means activities that A, involve violent acts or acts of dangerous to human life that are a violation of criminal laws of the United States or any state, or that would be a criminal violation if committed within the jurisdiction of the United States, that appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce civilian populations to influence the policies of our government, by intimidation or coercion, or to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnappings, and occurs primarily outside the territorial jurisdiction of the United States or transcends national boundaries in terms of the means by which they are accomplished, the person they appear to intend to intimidate or coerce. And again, that's the intent section of the crime. So terrorism means specifically acts designed to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, influence policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or to affect the conduct of a government of mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping. And John Brennan says, former CIA director, former secured clearance CIA director, that terrorism is but a state of mind and terror is but a tactic, Andy.
I obviously hadn't read the United States Code, because when you read the United States Code, it is not a state of mind, and it is an act dangerous to human life, intending to influence the actions of a country by means of intimidation, force, threats, and things of that nature. So he obviously, having been head of the CIA, this is what amazes me, having been head of the CIA, that he would make a statement like that.
Harry, what's your reaction to this?
Well, my reaction is that John Brennan, in addition to proving his incompetence, also has proven that he doesn't understand either the law or international terrorism. He doesn't seem to understand that terror is an act intended to intimidate, an act intended to coerce or to influence U.S. policy. ISIS and the other terrorist groups certainly intend to influence U.S. policy. They intend to take American lives, and they intend to call upon their believers or the members of their groups to take action either as so-called lone wolves or as part of some community of terrorists. So John Brennan is clearly wrong. He's been wrong in the past, and he's wrong now.
All right, we're going to take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. One of those questions we asked is, who should be next in the removal of a security clearance? Let's go to Yvonne in Oregon Online 5. Yvonne, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Yvonne.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Yep.
I think it's just elementary that Peter Strzok should have his revoked, because he sat there as if he was above the law, smirking. He ended up getting fired, which is rightfully so, and he should have it revoked.
So here's the question, Than. Because of the civil service, well, the security clearances can be revoked without going through a civil service firing. Do we know what his status is? We know he's fired, but do we know what his clearance status is at this point?
We don't know. We assume he still has it, Jay. But look, I think there's a growing sense on the Hill that it should be revoked. And for this reason, Pete King really outlined it. He said that it's not a lifetime grant. It's a privilege you lose if you abuse it. I would take that one step further, Jay. Look, it's a privilege that is granted you for the purpose of serving the American people. So if you're no longer in a capacity where you're serving the American people, Jordan outlined some cases where maybe you are serving the American people. You need to keep it. If Peter Strzok is not, well, then there's no need for him to have it. And he certainly abused it.
What do you think of Peter Strzok's
situation? Fired, you lose it. I mean, I think, you know, like even in Britain's case, he wasn't fired. It was a different administration, so wouldn't be necessarily an automatic loss. I think you can have a whole different debate or whether or not you should keep these after your government service. I do believe that there are likely times when it's necessary, transfers of power, transitions, when you need to work together with those who were formerly in the position who need to still have access to top secret information. That being said, maybe you phase that out over a period of time. And then if people do
But you think the idea, if they get fired, they should lose it?
Fired, I think it should be like part of the package, is that it goes. And we actually have people who call in who have said, written on Facebook and Periscope, who have said that when this happens, in any private business and you do have a clearance, it's gone.
Yeah.
You don't get to keep it with you. You have to go through the process again. So, if you
Andy, what do you think about the idea? I like the idea that if you're fired from your position, you lose it.
Oh, I think that's exactly what should happen. Because if you're fired and terminated because of whatever reason, such as Strzok was or McCabe was or Sally Yates was, who knew more than the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, and the Office of Legal Counsel and the Supreme Court put together, why she should continue to keep her security clearance is beyond me if she's got it.
All right, let's go ahead and take more calls. 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed, so we're going to do as many calls as we can, and then we'll try to free the lines up for you, too.
Andrew in Florida on line three. Andrew, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Andrew. Go ahead. We've really struck a nerve on this one, that's for sure.
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Listen,
go ahead.
Thanks a lot for taking the call.
Sure.
Andy, Jay, Than, Jordan, and you, of course, sir. Do such a great job.
And you left Harry out.
Harry gets the most
comments on anybody on Facebook and Periscope, and you left him out. But that's okay, Joseph. All right, Andrew, we're not going to hold it against you. Go ahead. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I thought I mentioned the professor. I apologize for forgetting Harry. this is my problem. I really have a problem with this, and it was more a statement than a question.
Okay.
These people are so involved in the former administration, the former presidential administration, to where our former president has an office, has basically a sub White House two blocks from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And so he can continue basically to run Washington underground. And like a shadow government, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a shadow government. They're criminals. They're all criminals.
Look, legally under law, no one's a criminal until they're adjudicated and found guilty. I mean, I understand, Andrew, your concern. And then I think what's bothering people here is you get a situation like Peter Strzok where he's fired and he still has security clearance. And these other ones fired and they still have security clearance. And Brennan's acting like he had a right to security clearance. And some of the media is saying, well, he's got a right to security clearance. That's just not true legally. I will tell you that. And by the way, his First Amendment rights obviously protected. He was on the op-ed page of the New York Times.
Yeah, he's no longer serving the American people, and frankly, he's shown that he is not interested in helping the current administration, which, you know, to Jordan's point, that would be why he might need a security clearance if he was willing to help, but clearly he's not. And Jay, I also see a huge difference between a former elected official and these bureaucrats. The American people choose their presidents, so of course they have certain grants. A bureaucrat, Jay, no American chose them to serve, so there's no right to continue into perpetuity for the rest of your life to have this clearance. If you're serving the people, you may need it. If you're not, and clearly he's not, there's no reason for you to have
it. Well, I think Jordan drew the appropriate distinction between where you may need it in civilian capacity, working for a defense contractor and so forth. But if you are fired from the FBI,
you shouldn't be able to work for that defense contractor. When you get fired, there means that there'll be jobs in the future that you're no longer going to get because you got fired from your previous job. It wasn't like it came to an end like it did for these other political appointees. So there should be consequences for people like Peter Strzok and McCabe financially for their entire lives. They got fired. They didn't just leave on their own terms. They got fired by the FBI. So that will impact them, and they certainly should be able to use a security clearance they had to try and resurrect their career. But they want to go write books, and they want to go be commentators on TV. No one's stopping them from doing that. That's their First Amendment right.
All right, we're taking more calls. We come back from the break at 800-684-3110. We've got a line open actually now, 1-800-684-3110. Also, don't forget the ACLJ's matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, which a lot of you do now, but if you don't, go over to Facebook or Periscope. It's there, or ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
From Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I'd like to begin by reading a statement from the president. As the head of the executive branch and commander-in-chief, I have a unique constitutional responsibility to protect the nation's classified information, including by controlling access to it. Today, in fulfilling that responsibility, I've decided to revoke the security clearance of John Brennan, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, let me set for you what's happened here. So John Brennan lost his security clearance because the president said, based on the actions he'd taken. He had also accused the president of treason. Treason is defined by statute, and the treason statute is very clear. As by the way, if you're found guilty of treason, it's punishable by death. That's a death penalty case. And he accused the president of being treason. You do not have the right to a security clearance. I want Jordan to explain to you when sometimes it's helpful for individuals that lead government to keep a security clearance, but not when you're calling for treason actions brought against a president generally. And again, you could. There's a lot of things you could say, but you don't have a right to a, and I think this is important, you do not have a right to a security clearance.
No, you don't. It's part of something you utilize when you have a current job. So as CIA director, which would be very important that you would have a top-level security clearance if you're John Brennan in that role, and that you can retain, a lot of that's to help transitions, or if a new CIA director, even a year or two later down the road, wants to bring you in on an issue. I want to make this clear to people. I'm not sure we made it clear enough. We started to in the end. Because John Brennan had, let's say, 2 days ago when he had this clearance, it's not like he could just call up and say, give me all the top secret information. I want a full briefing. He couldn't. That only means that he could be brought into a discussion without having to get a new security clearance. So he had no access taken away from him that he had on his own. I think that's important. No one was saying, oh, we're banning John Brennan from seeing information. Because he had no right to even get to that information with the clearance. The clearance just gave him the ability to be brought in by a new administration if they so chose to do so to review information. That's it. So there was no taking away of any kind of right he had to daily access of classified info. It's not, obviously, it has no impact on what he wants to say on TV or his First Amendment rights. And by the way, he tried to say it's an attack on his First Amendment rights. Just because you have the First Amendment right to speak and say what you want does not mean that there's never consequences for that. I mean, the First Amendment doesn't protect you from any consequences. It says you will have the freedom of speech, but there are sometimes consequences for what you say, and if you are the appropriate person then to have these other powers.
Yeah, let me play what Senator Lindsey Graham had to say about this.
You can be the former CIA director and a critic of the president. You just can't lead the resistance movement at the same time. If you look at CIA policy about how a former director should act, he is well over the line.
Well, so that's Senator Graham. We've had other senators, Stan Bennett, our director of government affairs, that have commented likewise. What's your assessment?
Well, John Kennedy said he's acted like a political hack and not a national security professional. And Jay, I mean, I think that's really the clear question. Brennan went outside public service and into the partisan realm. And look, I actually think the point that Jordan just made needs to be underscored, because if someone on the inside with the security clearance and current access wanted to go rogue and share that information with John Brennan, this removal of his security clearance would add a layer of crime to that leaking, which I think is very important, because someone on the inside could still give John Brennan access to that information if he hadn't lost this clearance.
That's right. So I think there's a whole host of reasons why. There's this further list. We're going to get into that more. I know a lot of you want to talk about that because they were named by the White House. The White House has named who else is under review for having their clearance removed. But maybe after we go through this list, you can think about that as well. Let me give you the names real quick and then think during our break. Anybody you want to add to this list? So here's currently the White House is reviewing Jim Clapper's, Jim Comey's, Mike Hayden's, Sally Yates, Susan Rice, Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Bruce Orr. Anybody else you think should be added to that list? You got some time to think about it for our radio audience as we go into our break. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break. We'll also get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope. Those that are on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends. We encourage you to do that. Also, don't forget, we're ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign midway through the month here. ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. It's any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for, so we appreciate that. Also, stay engaged with us on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Periscope, whatever else. What are we on? Other things, too. Instagram? Are we on Instagram? We are on Instagram, Will says. There you go. All right, we'll take more of your calls and comments when we come back from the break.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves.
Legend, 76 years old, went home to be with the Lord. Beautiful voice, changed a lot of things, not just musically. Was a civil rights icon as well, and just what a talented singer and composer and artist. Anyways, our tribute to Aretha Franklin. We're going to go right back to our phones, 1-800-684-3110. We've got a lot of people that have been holding. Let's go.
At this point, too, this is a little earlier in the show to do it, but I think because people have been holding on, we'll just start in order. And Marion in Tennessee, you have been holding on. Hang on, we'll get you a signed copy of one of our books.
I'm going to get you a signed copy of our Jerusalem book.
You are on the air.
Thank you.
Yep.
I would like to know, when I retired from the government, the last thing I had to do was to go buy security and surrender my security badge and sign paperwork, giving up, you know, that I had no more right to have a security. So why should that be any different from it for these highly, you know, the guys?
Well, I think what Jordan said, Marion, is that there's a reason to continue civilian security clearance in some cases.
Yeah, so this is not talking about is that John Brennan doesn't just get to keep his card to go walk into the CIA whenever he wants to and go access any files. What it means is that he could be brought into the CIA before this was revoked into a top secret discussion. If they wanted to bring him. So that's the difference between giving up your actual ability to access the building and your passwords into your email account and your data, and the idea that in the future you might be utilized either by a corporation, which, by the way, those are corporations that work very closely to the U.S. government, like the Lockheed, building a military hardware, that they've got. Now, also, this doesn't mean that John Brennan can't get one again in the future if some president wanted to give him one.
Correct. It's not revoked. So, Harry, how do you view this? First of all, do you think the president was right?
Well, absolutely. And I would also say that John Brennan is wrong, and he is confused. First, he was confused about the law with regard to terrorism. He's also now confused about his First Amendment rights. The revocation of his security clearance, for instance, has no effect on his First Amendment rights. The revocation means that he can no longer monetize access. So I think many of these former officials, they would go around to corporations and other events, and they would say, former CIA director, and based on my quote-unquote national security contacts, I can say X or Y about what is going on.
Yeah.
Clearly, John Brennan has destroyed his credibility with respect to his ability to be an objective, impartial commentator. I think that is clear. But what is now equally clear is he can no longer monetize that.
Now, Andy, the left is saying this is punishing these individuals. That's it's a punishment that the president's infusing here.
Well, it's not a punishment because it's a privilege. It's not a right that you have. And the president, and I think the statement, is really very well balanced. And I take somebody like Rand Paul, who's not always a fan of the president or not always with the president on these issues, who says, I applaud President Trump for his revoking of John Brennan's security clearance. He should not be allowed near classified information. He participated in shredding constitutional rights, lied to Congress, and has been monetizing and making partisan political use of his clearance since his departure. What a true statement.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different reasons different people in Washington had issues with John Brennan. I think there's the current Trump supporting politicians and leaders who got or who are the people elected who get elected by the people. They have seen him politicizing and weaponizing intelligence. Okay, so they don't like that.
Yep.
The Rand Paul libertarian side. John Brennan, the CIA, got caught up in a lot of that spying on the American people and trying to act like they weren't.
Yep.
That was John Brennan. Let me remind you, that was John Brennan who told Congress
under mass data gathering
that they weren't doing that data gathering on your phones and all that metadata, and they were, and they had to go and apologize. Remember what they were doing to reporters under John Brennan. I mean, this is, again, this. So you get a unique group of – you get the Lindsey Grahams on one side of the Republican Party and Rand Paul on the other side of the Republican Party who usually on security issues like this are at opposite ends,
yep.
Both in agreement for different reasons.
What, Than, so do you expect, you've said this earlier, so you got Rand Paul's made statements, Senator Kennedy's made statements. You expect that this to grow?
I do, and the reason that Jordan just outlined the national security reason is precisely why, Jay, because think about a couple of other individuals. Think about Susan Rice and the massive unmasking wave that she was under. Think about Ben Rhodes, who admitted to lying to the American people about the Iran deal. These are people that engaged in national security on behalf of the Obama administration for a long period of time and clearly abused that power. So in my view, Jay, along with having been fired, I think that's a good criteria for losing. But if you're in the national security space and you demonstrate an abuse of the power that you've been granted, that should also be an automatic revocation. So to me, those two at least are in the same vein and might follow shortly.
Let's go right to the phones. Joseph in Oregon, online too. Maybe he has someone he wants to add to that list. Joseph, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Joseph.
Hello, Jay. How you doing?
Good.
My question is, does Hillary Clinton still have her security clearance?
Probably. Former Secretary of State probably has her security clearance. Traditionally, Secretaries of State have maintained a security clearance for the reason Jordan outlined earlier, and that is they are often consulted by other administrations.
Even utilized, you've seen former Secretaries of State utilized as diplomats,
special envoys.
Special envoys.
Yep.
Long after. I mean, we saw it with Bill Richardson going to North Korea unofficially for the U.S., but with a security clearance, he could understand what he was walking into.
Yeah, so this is, I think what Jordan said earlier, I don't understand this, that there is a reason to have security clearances for Professor Hutchinson, to have security clearances for high-ranking officials. It's just, it's not a right, is what we're saying. It's not, you're not automatically entitled to it.
Absolutely. So it's important to look, for instance, at Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton transmitted information over her private server, and so perhaps there's a basis for revoking her clearance.
Yeah, but traditionally, Secretary of States, because of their role as Secretary of State, have maintained a security clearance for the reason Jordan outlined, which is the ability, I think, to consult with them on special missions, special projects. You've seen this. You see this with ambassadors, by the way, will sometimes maintain their security clearance.
Yeah.
So again, we're not saying you shouldn't have security clearances. We're just saying it's not a right, and the president chose to revoke it here. My goodness, he was accused of treason by John Brennan. All right, let's take another call.
Yep, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, team. I used to have a clearance in Washington.
Yep.
It was a background. They look back into your background, and then they say they trust you with the fidelity, integrity to be around certain places. Mine was the White House, Camp David, and not everybody I was there had it. Only 40 out of 120.
Yeah.
And I was proud of it, and I put it on every application, college, law school, law enforcement. Had it been yanked, I wouldn't put it there. When people retire, like both colonels, I'm sure have it. And because a lot of times you get access to making bids or work or things like that.
Well, they only maintain it. You have to maintain it. You don't just get to keep it. You have to maintain it. It requires updates.
Yeah.
You've got to file federal forms. There's investigations. Even when you have it, it has to be updated.
Yeah, so this is, again, if it is something important to you economically, you've got to use it like a license, like a professional license in a sense. And listen, for most people that have it and retire with it, so people who are not fired, people who not become heads of resistance.
I think if you're fired, it's a basis.
It seems like that could be a basis where we just make the process easier take the security clearance away.
Here's what Sarah Sanders said, the rationale that was given. So I think it's important to put this in context as we go into a break. Take a listen.
First, at this point in my administration, any benefits that senior officials might glean from consultations with Mr. Brennan are now outweighed by the risks posed by his erratic conduct and behavior. Second, that conduct and behavior has tested and far exceeded the limits of any professional courtesy that may have been due to him. Mr. Brennan has a history that calls into question his objectivity and credibility.
So, Andy, your thoughts on that?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. His lying and his conduct, his frenzied commentary is what the president said, and it has been frenzied commentary. He's not speaking rationally. And that's wholly inconsistent with having access to the nation's most closely held secrets. And it really facilitates the aim of our adversaries, as the president said, and really is there to sow division and chaos.
But
now, those findings having been made, why not terminate him?
Yeah, but again, Harry, he doesn't have, there's not a constitutional right to security clearance.
Absolutely not. And so John Brennan continues to act as if he has some constitutional right to access. That is nonsensical.
All right, we're taking a break. We come back. Last segment of the broadcast, we'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've got some comments we'll put in also on Facebook and Periscope as well, so get those in. Again, don't forget the Matching Challenge campaign of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Believe it or not, because we hit some calls on the last segment, we've got an open line, which we've not had that at all today. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends. We'll be back with more. Plenty of your comments in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
going to waste a moment. We're going to not let the music play long. We have a lot of people that have been on hold. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones. Again, we'll do it in the order that people called.
Sure. Philip in Virginia, line 4. You are on the air, Philip.
Hi, Philip. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to give some clarification on some comments were made about if somebody gets fired, that should lose their clearance or it should
Jordan's
be considered.
Idea,
But there's a lot of things that people get fired for. They could get fired for showing up late for work too many times, right? A lot of different things that can
not this group. And this is not the group that would have this kind of level of security clearance is not getting fired because they show up late to work too many times. Unless their reason they weren't showing up to work is because they were incapacitated. They could no longer perform their duties. Then they should lose their security clearance as well. So you got to remember who we're talking about here. The top echelon. Well,
let's go through the list.
Yeah, we're talking. Okay. These are the people who've made it to the very top of the unelected government. Okay, so so sometimes these
are unelected, but leaders of our government.
Some are chosen by the elected officials, some are bureaucrats. So you got James Clapper still on this list, Jim Comey, Mike Hayden, who's a former CIA director, Sally Yates, who was the acting attorney general and deputy AG, Susan Rice, national security advisor and a former ambassador to the UN, Andrew McCabe, former deputy director of the FBI and acting director of the FBI, Peter Strzok, the head of counterintelligence for the FBI. Lisa Page was one of the head of legal attorneys for the FBI on counterintelligence. And then Bruce Orr, who was an assistant deputy attorney general and number 4 at DOJ. You know who's not on this list? Samantha Powers.
Yeah, Samantha Powers not on the list. My fellow Lakeside Viking. She went to Lakeside High School, which is where I went, in Atlanta, Georgia. How does Andrew McCabe and Peter Strzok, Harry, still have clearances? Because it's not an automatic disqualifier when you get removed.
I think that's absolutely...
Even when you've had an OIG report that's referred it to a U.S. attorney.
Absolutely. So it underscores the fact that there is a lack of urgency within the bureaucracy. These individuals ought to be removed from their security clearance immediately upon termination. These individuals, in my opinion, have violated both the rules at the FBI and potentially have violated laws.
All right. Let's take another call.
Right back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Ed in Virginia on line 3. Ed, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Ed.
Hey, Jake. Thanks, crew. Quick question, but, you know, you guys, I appreciate, I get a lot of news from you all and a lot of information from you all, and my impression is you guys are about the best bulldogs we got out there when it comes to pressing these issues. Having said that, what if I can, Jay, I'm just going to run through this and let you guys respond.
Sure.
What is the big flap about taking this person? I mean, we've said this 1,000 times today. There's no right to having this. Okay, done. Doesn't need to be said anymore. So what is the flap over? Again, I'll let you answer that.
Well, it's because, these individuals, Andy, like to tout that they have it for their business purposes as well. I'm not saying anything nefarious about that. It's just that's part of what it is.
It's the big thing to be able to sell yourself after you've been terminated from the government by saying, I still have my security clearance, and I can do this and I can do that for you, and that's what Brennan was doing.
But Jordan says, right, they don't have a right to go in and demand a meeting for a briefing. I want to be clear on that.
And they have no access to information. It's not like they can like log in and they still get their daily national security briefings. I will add, though, I think that's important. Just important to point out what is trying to be done here is to make this political. The other side here is growing the terminology of enemies list. Let's be fair on the broadcast, so we know what the other side's doing with this. Their narrative is the president's putting together a top level, a former government official's enemy list. First, they're fired or they're already out. Now they're going to be punished, and why that makes no sense to me is, one, if you truly wanted to do that, you wouldn't be giving them ways to even complain. Yep. This, I think, is actually done for national security purposes, not done because this gives, in a sense, it gives Brennan a platform. Yep. You want to continue to be the guy saying treason, treason, treason.
Right.
Look, I got punished for it.
You
wouldn't do that for political purposes if you do this for national security reasons.
Well, this is an interesting comment came in on, and we'll go right back to the phone. But Paul in Periscope said, are the repercussions if someone shares classified information with Brennan now that he's lost his clearance? Yes. You cannot share classified information with someone that is not entitled to that information. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah.
Again, let's go to line 6.
Yeah, Jamie in Oklahoma on line 6. Jamie, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Jamie. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys, I just want to first say I donate to you guys, because
Thanks.
You are looking out for the American people, regardless of party affiliation.
I appreciate
and
that.
I do not think that moderate Democrats, liberals, independents, even conservatives realize that you are working for the people, not just one group.
Yep. Thank you.
My question is, how are the hundreds of thousands of security clearances monitored, dissected, reviewed? Are they hourly, daily, to see if they're being used appropriately?
Yeah.
And
so you're asking the question of ongoing monitoring of the security system, security clearance, right, Jamie? That's what it sounds like you're asking.
Yeah.
So here's the difficult: when someone has information. And they want to get more information. They are required, Harry, though, to update their security clearance. If you make a foreign contact, for instance, you got to update your FS80. I think it's FS86. That's the form.
I think that's absolutely correct. But the real issue, of course, is the bureaucracy is overwhelmingly large.
Yeah.
And there are few incentives within the bureaucracy to expeditiously expedite your job. And so many individuals who have security clearances ought to lose them for a variety of reasons.
Nice. Grab another call.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to David in Illinois, online to David. Welcome to JSecure Live.
Hey, David.
Hi there. I think one thing is missing: sensibility. A part of the security is responsibility and trustworthy. If you're not responsible and trustworthy, you shouldn't have a security clearance. When you're fired with cause, you're not either of those.
Andy, I think fired with cause, it could be a basis for an automatic, at least suspension and review of your security clearance, if not an outright revocation.
Well, it ought to be. When you look at the people that have been terminated, James Comey, for example, leaking to a friend of his in New York some information, and he says, and I didn't go out for it for a variety of reasons, but I gave it to my friend so that I could get a special counsel appointed. And this was a confidential conversation with the President of the United States. I want to know, why is James Comey still got a security clearance
today?
Good
question. Good question. All right, let's try to grab at least one more.
Yep, let's go to Don in Ohio on
line
5.
Quick, Don, go ahead.
With Berman losing his clearance, is he still bound by the secrecy to repeat or not repeat the secrets or reveal them?
Oh, he cannot reveal classified information. In other words, once you've lost your clearance, it doesn't mean you can now violate the basis upon which you received that information. So he, even as he has a First Amendment right to free speech, he doesn't have a First Amendment right to share classified information. So that's a great question. All of these were great questions. We appreciate you listening in the broadcast. Tomorrow on the broadcast, we're going to give you an update on the case involving Pastor Andrew Brunson and keep you posted on that. A court yesterday ruled that he was not entitled to the trial to be suspended. That wasn't a surprise, but we're going to give you an analysis of where that case is as we end the week. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice, we get a matching gift for. So we encourage you to do that again at ACLJ.org. And there's a lot of ways for you to connect with us during the times when we're not on the air with you, and that is you go to Facebook and Periscope and other social media platforms. There's an ACLJ app you should have where you can get all of our broadcasts, the TV version of this, as well as movies, videos, special videos that are done. We encourage you to do that. So make sure you sign up to our Facebook pages, Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, ACLJ, and the same thing on Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow. We'll talk to you on the broadcast tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.